figured that it might help jog Katerina's memory if I could start filling in some of the blanks about her life. Okay, we know that she and her mother were estranged. Did Pearl give you any insight into that relationship?
She said the two of them had an argument a while back in regards to her relationship with Bobby. Pearl wasn't a fan, although I wasn't able to get the specific reasons why. All she would tell me was that he wasn't good enough for Katerina.
I wonder why. Sounds like a hard-working guy. I mean, being a ranch hand isn't a walk in the park.
No, there has to be another reason.
Maybe he cheated on her? I suggested. Nick shrugged.
We might never know. If we can get Bobby to talk to us, my biggest question will be why he didn't report her missing.
Okay, and what if he won't talk to us?
We'll go down to Lou's and see if her co-workers can give us a scoop. You gotta figure that they know something. It's pretty hard keeping secrets working in a little place like that.
I laughed nervously. Siren Song wasn't a bar, but it was a small, tight-knit staff. My walls were starting to come down, but I had to carefully maneuver and phrase things to make sure none of my secrets leaked out. I glanced over at Nick, smiling.
Is that why you work alone? Keeping those secrets to yourself?
Nick laughed.
You caught me.
Seriously, don't you get lonely? I don't know if I could work all by myself. Granted, potion making was usually a solitary profession, but that wasn't the same as having four office walls to stare at all day.
It doesn't bother me. I'm used to working on my own. Lone wolf, I guess.
I relaxed back into the soft, upholstered seat, enjoying the cool air piping in from the vents ahead of me. Night was falling, and while the temperature was dropping, it was still fairly warm outside. I hadn't gone home to change out of the jeans and sneakers I'd worn up the hill with Evangeline that morning.
Well, if you want my advice, it's nice to have friends, I said, rolling my head against the seat to look at Nick's profile.
His jaw was strong, but not too angular. It was a lot like his personality. Solid. He looked freshly shaven compared to his slightly scruffy look that morning at the crime scene. Had he cleaned up on my behalf? And if so, why? And more importantly, why was I even wondering about it? I couldn't figure Nick out. When we'd first met, we couldn't have been on more opposite sides. But as we'd worked together to solve Peg's murder, things shifted, and we became friends. We never spent time alone, other than when investigating. But we saw each other most every day, at Siren Song or around town, in the grocery store or outside the bank. Lately, though, I'd been thinking about him more often and noticing him. I wanted to chalk it up to our friendship growing, but there was a nagging thought in the back of my mind that told me it was something else, that there was more to it. Maybe it was just because things with Adam had been topsy-turvy lately. But what did it mean? Did I see myself with Nick instead of Adam? Or was I just getting cold feet and looking for an excuse to bolt?
I still talk to my friends back in California, he said, bringing me back to the conversation. And I have you and Cassie. I like to think we're all friends by now.
He glanced over at me, and our eyes met. A flurry of emotions swirled around my stomach. I nodded.
Of course we are.
He smiled, and my stomach flip-flopped in the other direction.
Good.
I dragged my eyes away as he turned his attention back to the road. I stared out the passenger side window, wondering what in the other world was wrong with me. After a few minutes of silence, with nothing but the soft sound of a country song playing in the background, Nick asked me,
"What do you think about Cassie and Chief Lincoln? That was kind of left field, wasn't it?"
A laugh slipped past my lips.
"Trust me, I am just as shocked as you are, and she's my best friend. I can't believe she didn't tell me about the date as soon as he asked."
Nick laughed along.
"Okay, glad it wasn't just me.
They went to school together. Chief, or Jeffrey, as she calls him, was only a couple of years ahead of her. He asked her to prom when they were in high school and she turned him down."
"Ouch."
"Yeah, so I guess he's finally getting his chance." Nick shook his head.
"Crazy." What about you? You go to prom and all that back in your day?
Yeah. I went with the same girl both years. Clarissa Dunham. She was my high school sweetheart. College, too. At least for part of it.
Oh? What happened?
Nick glanced at me and laughed.
You investigating the investigator?
I guess so.
He chuckled and nodded.
All right. Fair enough. We dated in high school, decided to go on to the same college so we could stay together. But after 2 years at school, she decided she wanted someone else.
Yikes.
I'm sorry, Nick.
It's ancient history, really.
Something about his tensed grip on the steering wheel told a different story.
What about you?
You and Adam together?
I drew in a deep breath.
Yeah, it's new.
Nick smirked at me.
Don't sound too excited over there.
I laughed and brushed my hair away from my face, carefully tucking a strand behind either ear. I'm awkward with stuff like that.
That didn't stop you from asking me,
he pointed out, still grinning. Let's just say my past relationships haven't gone well. My last boyfriend got tangled up with the wrong people. Horrible people, actually. He ended up in prison, and I nearly got dragged down with him.
Wow. Are you serious?
Sadly, yes.
I'm sorry, Holly. I had no idea.
It worried me that I hadn't found a way to tell Adam about my ex-boyfriend, but with Nick, it came out easily. Of course, Nick couldn't know that the bad guys Gabriel had been involved with were black magic-wielding wizards, but the bare bones of the story remained the same. Like you said, ancient history. Except it wasn't really. Gabriel and all the trouble he had caused were the reason that I was in Beechwood Harbor to begin with. The reason I was banned from going to any haven. And the reason my Aunt Bethany had all but abandoned me. She couldn't risk being associated with me after what Gabriel had done to my reputation. Not when her husband was a big SPA leader. I sighed, once again trying to release the tension in my chest.
Adam's not like that. He's a good guy.
Yeah, he seems nice. I laughed. The few occasions when Adam and Nick had come face to face had been tense, to say the least. I had a feeling that if Nick was a shifter, they would both shift to their beast forms and have an all-out brawl. I cocked my head at Nick, wondering what kind of animal he would be if he was a shifter. It was a stupid question. Shifters were born, not made, like werewolves.
A polar bear, I muttered to myself.
Excuse me?
Oh, nothing, I replied, waving it off.
Nick turned onto a gravel driveway and we lumbered forward cautiously. 100 feet down the path, it split into two. Nick took the one on the left, and half a minute later we arrived at a quaint cottage. It couldn't have been more than 1,000 square feet. A single level that looked more like a gingerbread house than a home on a horse ranch.
This is cute, I said, peering out the front windshield.
The lights were on, and right as we parked, a shadow flickered in the front window.
Aha! He's home.
Nick threw the car into park and fumbled to unbuckle his belt as quickly as possible. We got out of the car and walked up the drive, only pausing for a moment at the bottom steps of the small porch.
What do we do now?
Nick smiled at me.
We knock.
I rolled my eyes and marched past him up the 3 steps to the front door.
I meant, who's doing the talking?
That's a ridiculous question. I'm the PI. You're the muscle, remember? He bopped me on the nose as he moved past to get to the door.
So try and look fierce.
He knocked before I could argue, and the door cracked open, a sliver of light spilling onto the wooden planks under our feet.
Who are you?
Mr. Price? The door opened wider, and the beefy man rose up to his full standing height. He was a good 6 inches taller than Nick, leaving me nearly a foot shorter, and at least half as wide. I swallowed hard, my mouth suddenly dry. Magic pulsed on my palm, and I bit the inside of my cheek to keep myself in check.
Nick better not piss this guy off.
Who's asking?
Nick flashed a brief smile and extended his hand.
My name is Nick Rivers. I'm a private investigator, employed by Pearl Barkley to investigate the disappearance of her daughter, Katerina.
Recognition flickered in the giant's cold eyes, but the rest of his face remained frozen, as if etched in stone. He reminded me vaguely of Gary, the violent gargoyle who had briefly lived at the manor, and exemplified the fact that while supernaturals had created a civilization, that didn't make them all civilized. I sincerely hoped Katerina's boyfriend didn't have fangs.
You find her?
He asked suspiciously, ignoring Nick's hand. Nick dropped his hand and raked it through his hair instead.
Mind if we come inside?
Who's the girl?
I stepped forward into the light. Holly Bolt, I'm Nick's partner. If we could come inside, we could explain everything and maybe ask a few questions. We won't take up much of your time. The man glanced between us, his jaw working.
Fine. Come in.
Nick ushered me forward. Sure, make me go in first. Once inside, Bobby led us to a small living room. It was decorated with comfortable, second-hand-looking furniture. The wallpaper border along the walls was peeling and faded. The windows were open, letting in the soft early summer breeze that was rapidly growing colder as night fell. I shivered, but it had more to do with the look in Bobby's eyes than the temperature of the room.
You can sit if you want to,
he said, gesturing at the threadbare love seat. Nick and I each took a cushion and leaned forward in unison as Bobby situated himself on the couch across from us.
I'm sorry to have to say this, but Katerina was located earlier today, and I'm afraid that she was involved in an accident.
Bobby frowned.
What kind of accident?
She was found at the bottom of a cliff overlooking Beechwood Harbor.
Bobby's expression didn't change. He looked expectantly at Nick, then me, and back again before asking,
And? Is she at the hospital or something?
Nick glanced down at his folded hands, his discomfort palpable in the small space. I placed a hand on his, feeling them shake ever so slightly. Bobby. Katerina didn't make it. I'm so sorry. She was already gone by the time the rescue team reached her. Bobby cursed under his breath.
I knew something like that would happen. I told her so, too.
Nick glanced at me out of the corner of his eye. It was clear he was just as startled by Bobby's response as I was.
I'm sorry. I'm not following, he said,
redirecting his attention to the hulking man across from us.
You thought she might end up...
Dead? Yeah.
Nick sputtered.
Why's that?
She went crazy. She was running with a rough crowd from that damned bar she worked at. Katerina grew up sheltered. She didn't know what she was getting into. And I knew it was only a matter of time before she got in too deep.
Is that why you didn't report her missing? You figured she was with her new friends.
I didn't report her missing because I didn't know she was.
Bobby reclined back. His calm demeanor was unnerving.
Listen, Katerina and I broke up a couple of weeks ago. She took all her crap and moved in with one of her friends. This girl, Jess. She's the leader of the Troublemakers. They work together at Lou's. Ever since the two of them became friends, it was like Katerina was a different person. The day she left, I told her that she was headed down a dangerous path. She told me I was being a control freak and that I was suffocating her. So I said whatever and let her go. Haven't talked to her since.
He paused a moment, reflecting, and then added,
Guess I never will now.
He was holding something back. I could see it in his eyes. I wished I had a vial of the loose lips potion I'd used the last time I'd questioned a suspect in a murder investigation. The stuff came in handy.
There's one more thing I'd like to ask you,
Nick said, looking over at me for a beat.
If there is foul play involved, who would you recommend we look into?
He shrugged his meaty shoulders.
How should I know? That's your job, isn't it? You said you were a spy, right?
Private investigator.
Same diff.
Actually, I held up a finger, cutting Nick off. You said that you told her she'd end up getting into trouble. Obviously, you had someone or something in mind.
Look, she and Jess work in a bar. They drink, party, probably go home with the wrong guys. It's a ticking time bomb, if you ask me. Me and Katerina had a good life here, but it was too simple for her, too small. She didn't want to stay in. She always wanted to go out, wearing these itty-bitty dresses that attracted all kinds of attention. It was a constant argument with her. I'm sorry that she's dead, but I can't say that I'll miss her. The girl I knew was gone a long time ago.
The force of his statement hit me in the gut like a sucker punch. How could they have fallen so far from the happy, in-love couple they must have been when they first moved in together? Nick gave a curt nod as he rose from the love seat. I quickly followed his lead.
Thank you for your time, Mr. Price.
Bobby didn't bother standing, and only offered a grunt as we shuffled for the front door. Only when we were safely ensconced in Nick's car did we let out a collective shudder. That was weird, I said, rubbing the chill off my arms. Nick was still staring up at the house. I followed his eyes and noticed that Bobby Price's hulking form was staring out the window. He spotted us looking up at him, and the lights died, plunging the house and driveway into darkness. Chapter 13. Nick hurried to flick on the headlights and turned over the engine before even bothering to buckle up. He threw it in reverse and backed down the driveway, spraying gravel as he gunned the gas. When we reached the road, he flipped around and we sped away from the small cottage. The fact that Nick was spooked startled me even more than the odd encounter with Bobby. Neither of us said a thing until we got back on the main road and were safely racing away from the ranch.
That's officially the weirdest interview I've ever done, Nick announced,
finally starting to relax in the driver's seat. I nodded vigorously. You think he's our guy? Nick shrugged.
I don't know, but he knows more than what he's saying, that's for sure. My gut feeling is he already knew Katerina was dead.
I agree. His reaction was almost rehearsed.
That's what I thought, too.
I sighed. So what now? What's the next move?
I'll check in with Chief Lincoln tomorrow. By then, they'll have had a chance to examine the body and might be able to determine how and when she was killed. That will help build a framework. We can only hope that there were more clues on her body.
I think we should go to Lou's and see if this Jess girl can tell us anything about Bobby. If they were good friends, she has to know all the secrets behind their recent breakup. Nick nodded.
Good plan. Let's wait until tomorrow. Like I said, by then we'll know more about what happened and can get more specific with our questions. You working?
Always, I replied, sighing. Nick chuckled.
Yeah, you're kind of like me in that regard.
I glanced across the console at him and studied the lines of his face. I decided I liked the quirky way he smiled when he was amused by something. Guess so. But I'll get to leave a little earlier than today. I don't have to stay until closing time because Kira and Paisley will work the closing shift. I mean, unless you wanted to get your sweep on again. Nick laughed.
Nah, I'm good. But I can pick you up from the shop when your shift ends and we can go to Lou's. You think your boyfriend'll go berserk?
I grinned. Apparently, he picked up on Adam's not-so-secret hostility. He'll get over it.
All right.
He pulled on to Zinnia, the main road through town, and slowed. The streets were still fairly busy. The local pub, McNally's, was lit up, and a crowd of people were out on the front patio. The smell of food piped in through the air vents, and my stomach rumbled. For a fleeting moment, I considered asking Nick if he wanted to stop and get a bite. But that probably would set Adam off. Not that he hadn't done the exact same thing with Evangeline. Having dinner with Nick would be playing with fire, and I knew it. Nick dropped me off a few minutes later, and we said goodbye at the curb in front of the manor.
I watched from the porch as he turned around in the cul-de-sac and drove off, throwing me a quick wave. I breathed deeply, drinking in the night air, before marching myself up the stairs. Boots was going to be cranky that his dinner was late, and my stomach was reminding me that I hadn't had anything to eat for nearly 6 hours. As soon as I walked into the manor, all hopes of having a peaceful dinner for two went up in flames.
"This is the last straw, Fleabag," Lacey bellowed from her place at the top of the grand staircase.
I winced and closed the door slowly behind me. Adam glanced over at me and flashed a smirk.
"Hey, gorgeous, you're just in time for the main event."
Groaning, I brought my fingers up to my temples and rubbed away the dull pounding that was sure to lead to a massive headache. A common side effect of living with Adam and Lacey.
"You want the main event, you mangy?"
With a snap of my fingers, a loud rumble like thunder filled the foyer. I flashed an angry glare at Lacey, silencing her next tirade, and then pointed my glare toward Adam. "Guys, I don't know what in the other world I just walked into, but I want it to stop. Now!" Lacey flew down the stairs. Literally. She didn't have wings, contrary to some vampire legends, but she could move fast enough that she levitated slightly off the ground.
"Do you see what that mongrel did to my dress?" she screeched,
her eyes so black they looked like pools of pitch. At her icy tone, I took a half step back and bumped into the doorknob. I'd never seen her so angry before. She was terrifying. I cut a glance to Adam, silently questioning him. What had he done now? Lacey answered for him. She spun to the side, revealing streaks of brown liquid down the side of the silver sequin-heavy gown she was wearing. I recognized it as the one she was planning to wear for her final interview in the Ms. Undead, or whatever it was called, pageant.
"I need to wear this tonight for the dress rehearsal."
"What is that stuff?" I leaned over, daring her wrath to get a closer look.
"You should ask your mangy boyfriend."
"Lacey," she growled.
"He says it's barbecue sauce."
I pulled a face. "Do you have another dress you can wear instead?" The flash in her eyes answered that question. "Okay, okay. Before you two go off and kill each other, let me think of something. There's gotta be a spell for this." Evangeline came in from the kitchen and glanced around the room at all three of us, her blue eyes open wide.
"What's going on? Is everyone okay?"
I nodded. "We're fine. The thunder was mine," I replied, assuming that's what got her attention. Then again, it could have been Adam and Lacey screaming at one another. We were all just lucky that Posey hadn't stumbled into the argument. If there was one surefire way to make her lose her patience, it would be Adam and Lacey arguing. I was usually the one sent in to break it up, like a rodeo clown. Life at the manor was oftentimes like being an unpaid paranormal babysitter. I really should ask Posey for a break in my rent. Maybe a flat fee for every argument I had to settle. Evangeline's eyes landed on Lacey, and she gasped.
"What happened to your dress?"
I rolled my eyes when Lacey turned toward her sympathetic friend.
"That beast sprayed it all over me."
"Sprayed?" I repeated, shooting a confused look at Adam. He grinned.
"I was down at McNally's."
I grimaced, filling in the blanks. Occasionally, when Adam shifted into his beast form, a large black dog more in line with a grizzly bear than a canine, he wound up dumpster diving in the alley behind the popular pub. "And you rolled in barbecue sauce," I dared to venture. Adam laughed.
"No, but some people spotted me and threw their leftovers my way, taking pity on a poor old stray."
I scoffed. "A stray that weighs 200 pounds.
"Hey, who am I to question the generosity of strangers? Anyway, one of them had terrible aim, and I took a pelican burger to the flank."
I buried my face in my hands. "Yep, that's my boyfriend, folks."
"That doesn't explain how it got onto Lacey's gown,"
Evangeline pointed out. I peeked between my fingers. The scene before me would probably be hilarious if it weren't so infuriating. Adam was lounging casually against one banister, while Evangeline and Lacey were stationed at the other, hands on their hips. Identical pictures of righteous indignation.
I didn't realize it was on me. I thought I... Well, never mind. I got home, Lacey was doing her princess parade down the front walk, and I decided to, say hello before I transformed again.
Hello?
Lacey shrieked, her voice reaching new heights.
You jumped up behind me and barked.
It was a friendly bark, Adam laughed. In any case, Lacey didn't appreciate the greeting and pinned me down on the ground so she could do her scary princess vampire routine. And the sauce transferred. So technically, this is not even my fault.
Oh, Adam, I groaned. That's possibly a new low for you.
Thanks for the support, gorgeous.
Sorry, but you're on your own this time. I'm taking Lacey's side. Adam frowned at me.
How touching. That still doesn't fix my dress, Lacey shrieked.
I'm thinking, Lacey. Batwings.
Do we have any colt's foot?
Evangeline chimed in, her tone cool and calm, soothing, like a heavy rain tamping down a raging wildfire. I do, out in the greenhouse, I replied, arching an eyebrow. She nodded, an idea clearly forming in her mind.
There's a paste you can use, mixing crushed colt's foot, baking soda, and vinegar. It can get rid of any stain imaginable.
Really? I gawked. I had no idea.
Just go get it,
Lacey screamed, bawling her fists together tightly.
You can discuss the wonder of it all later after I leave for my pageant. I'm already late as it is.
Every fiber in my being wanted to backhand her, but I stuffed that rage down and took off for the kitchen and headed out to my greenhouse. I conjured a ball of light as I stepped inside the dark greenhouse. The soft blue orb floated to the glass ceiling, and I went to the containers that had my coltsfoot plants. It was a fairly common ingredient, useful for all kinds of potions, so I had a healthy supply. I didn't know how much Evangeline needed, so I clipped off a handful of sprigs from one lush plant and then marched back into the manor. Evangeline was already in the kitchen, mixing the vinegar and baking soda in a small plastic bowl. Here, is this going to be enough? I set the clippings on the counter. Evangeline glanced over and gave a nod.
Yeah, thanks.
Great. It's all yours.
Can you mince it up?
Evangeline asked. I nodded and sprang into action. It was odd, suddenly being the one in the apprentice role when just a couple of days ago she was the one on the opposite side of the counter, studying with wonder in her eyes as I worked. Granted, a stain remover wasn't exactly magical. Although if it could keep Lacey from killing Adam, it would be pretty darn close. The door slapped open as I was mid-chop, and Lacey strode in, having changed into a pair of jeans and a simple t-shirt. She was carrying the dress as though it were a beloved child, instead of a sequin-covered fashion don't.
"Can you get it out? This dress cost over $1,000, she said, gently laying it on the kitchen table.
My mouth dropped open. Evangeline didn't even bat an eye. Of course, in L.A., that was probably a bargain basement price.
It will work. Trust me.
Evangeline's tone was soothing and soft, and Lacey relaxed slightly. She lowered into the chair and stared longingly at the lifeless garment. I resisted the urge to roll my eyes. Within a few minutes, Evangeline had a green paste mixed together. She carried it to the dress and ladled it out with a spoon, applying a thin layer over the entire stain. Lacey nibbled on her nails. At first, I was just as nervous as Lacey looked. But then, all at once, the solution seeped into the dress and disappeared. When it was gone, so was the stain. I reached forward and brushed a finger along the fabric where the stain had been and gasped. Not only was the stain completely gone, but the garment was dry.
Whoa! How did you do that?
Evangeline smirked.
Magic.
I figured this was some kind of old wives' tale, I laughed. I certainly wasn't expecting that. Lacey jumped up and clutched Evangeline in what sounded like a bone-crunching embrace, and my mouth fell open for a second time. I'd never seen Lacey so much as give someone a handshake. She spouted a million thank yous on her way out the door, holding the restored dress over her head like an Olympic flag. When she was gone, I released a sigh of relief. Thanks, Evangeline. That was quick thinking. She beamed at me.
You forget that I was an actress. You wouldn't believe how many costumes my assistant had to clean.
I smiled, but then paused. Wait, was?
Hmm?
I circled my fingers through the air, rewinding the memory. A second ago, you said I was an actress.
Oh.
Her skin tone was dark enough to hide a blush, but she had that same caught-in-the-cookie-jar look on her face.
I meant am. It's just 'cause I'm on a break. Out of the routine.
Right. I nodded slowly, but couldn't quite dismiss it as a slip.
Well, anyway, thank you.
Sometimes Lacey and Adam can get a little... Evangeline smiled.
Crazy?
I laughed. Crazy is good. I was gonna say unwieldy, impossible, downright childish. Any of those would work. Evangeline tucked a loose strand of hair behind her ear, still smiling.
In that case, I'll keep the cleaning remedies at the ready.
Not a bad idea. I laughed and sagged against the counter. My stomach rumbled to life, and I glanced around the kitchen. Where's Boots? Normally, he'd be in here 2 seconds away from disowning me for being so late with dinner. Evangeline straightened.
Oh, he was in here earlier, before I went outside. He was pawing at that cupboard, so I went ahead and fed him. I hope that's okay.
Oh? Yeah, no, that's great. Thank you. He can be a little monster when he doesn't get his dinner on time. You're lucky with Flurry. He's self-sufficient. Evangeline laughed.
I suppose that's true, although sometimes it would be nice to have a familiar capable of snuggling. Hawks aren't good for that. I think it's the talons.
I never thought about it before, but yeah, that would deter me from trying too. I smiled and started for the refrigerator, mentally trying to piece together a meal from the groceries that were stashed inside my drawer. I hadn't been to Thistle for a while, and my food stores were running low. And for some inexplicable reason, a pelican burger, which for the record was only a name, not the source of the meat, sounded good. With my head still buried in the fridge, I called out to Evangeline. Did you already eat? I don't have much here. McNally's is open late, though, if you want to go with me.
Oh, thanks, Holly. I actually ate. Besides, I have a lot of studying to do, so I should get going. I was just out mapping the constellations.
Oh, astrology? She smiled.
Something like that.
Before I could ask any follow-up questions, the back door shut. I craned around to peer over my shoulder. She was gone. Chapter 14.
Did Princess Lacey get off to the ball before she turned into a pumpkin?
I huffed a sigh and turned toward Adam's casual drawl. He was propped up against the arm of the couch in the living area off the kitchen. She did, no thanks to you. Seriously, Adam, barbecue sauce? He grimaced.
It wasn't intentional, I swear, Holly.
I squared off with him and folded my arms, not daring to get too close. Adam had a way of distracting me with his dark eyes and wicked smile. I wasn't going to let him wiggle and flirt his way out this time. Either way, you could have been a little nicer about the whole thing. At least offered to pay for the dry cleaning bill.
I did.
He sighed and flopped back against the couch.
I told her I was sorry right when it happened, but she just wanted to scream.
I nibbled on my lower lip, considering his statement. Lacey did have a certain flair for the dramatic. It wasn't that far-fetched to think that she'd bulldozed right over his concern and apologies in order to play up the incident. Especially when she could get all the women in the house ganged up against Adam, her least favorite person, ever. I forced out an exhale, sending all the stress of the night out with it. Well, she's gone now, but I'd suggest getting her something for a peace offering. You know how nasty she can get.
Luckily, she can't do a lot of damage to me. No such thing as a shifter vamp.
I laughed and flicked my eyes up to the ceiling. The stars help us all if that ever became a thing. You'd be inconsolable without being able to eat food.
I don't even want to think about that.
Adam shuddered at the suggestion.
So gorgeous, what's on your agenda for the rest of the night? You got time for your favorite boyfriend?
I laughed and dropped my arms. Favorite? I wasn't aware you had competition. An odd silence stretched between us, and for a moment I thought Adam was going to say something. But with a flicker of a smile, he dismissed it.
Did you eat?
I shook my head.
No, I need to.
My stomach rumbled at the suggestion, as though reminding me that I'd been saying that for a while.
I'm always up for a late-night dinner.
News flash, I grinned at him. We can go out, but I need to talk to Katerina first. There's some news about her death I need to share with her.
All right. Last I saw, she and Posey were in the study.
I arched an eyebrow. Any idea what they're doing? Adam shrugged.
Not a one. Meet you out front when you're ready?
All right, I won't be long. Adam nodded his head and then backtracked to the grand staircase. I veered to the right, down the second, narrower hallway that led to my bedroom, bathroom, and a small study that no one besides Posey really used. The door of the study was closed, and before raising a hand to knock, I pressed my ear to the thick wood, wondering if I could get some idea as to what the two ghosts were doing inside. It was silent. I rapped my knuckles against the door and waited.
Come in.
I twisted the handle and slowly pushed the door open. The study was dark, except for the faint moonlight streaming through the windows. Posey and Katerina were hovering above the two wingback chairs, set at angles on opposite sides of the large fireplace. They turned as I entered. I flicked my hand and sent an orb of light into the center of the space, casting a blue glow through the room. Neither of the ghosts seemed to mind. Hello, ladies, I greeted, my voice as soft as my footsteps as I tiptoed into the quiet room. I hadn't heard their voices from the hall, but I couldn't help but feel as though I'd interrupted something.
Evening, Holly,
Posey replied. Her expression was solemn and downcast as she eyed her companion. Katerina was slunk back in her chair, making her look even more delicate than before. She was a tiny, waifish thing, and in ghost form, with no matter to give her substance, she seemed even smaller. Inside my chest, my heart hammered away, willing me to turn and leave. I didn't want to be the one to deliver the terrible news to the frail-looking girl. I swallowed hard and laced my hands together in front of me. Katerina, this isn't going to be easy, but I have something to tell you. Katerina barely looked up at me. Her eyes flicked toward me and then just as quickly went back to rest on the small table between the two formal chairs.
Okay, she whispered.
Posey gave her a look that could only be described as pitying.
Katerina, would you like me to leave?
She shook her head.
No, please stay.
Posey nodded slightly, and then turned her glossy eyes over to me.
What is it, Holly?
Katerina, your body was discovered early this morning. She didn't look up at the announcement, and I gave Posey a quizzical glance, unsure if I should continue. Posey gave me a nod, and I swallowed hard.
Evangeline and I went up to the hiking trail nearest the beach I met you at. Her hawk circled the area and located your body. A rescue team was called in, but as we already knew, it was too late.
My fingers knotted and twisted together as my eyes bounced between the two women.
That's good news,
Posey offered, smiling slightly. Katerina's eyes snapped up, blazing.
Good news? How can that be good news? I'm dead.
Dead?
There's nothing I can do to get back to my old life. Instead, I'm stuck here.
She jerked her hands through the air, gesturing at her new silvery, not quite there form.
I don't care what happens to my body, unless there's a way for me to get back into it.
Her voice broke off, and my heart twisted inside my chest. Posey looked about ready to cry herself.
Dear.
I dragged in a sigh and tried to rally. Katerina?
I know. Well, I don't know, but I can imagine this is difficult, and that there is a lot to process. I would leave you alone, but I need your help with something.
Posey glanced at me, her eyebrows knit together.
What do you mean?
Katerina, you were found at the bottom of a hiking cliff. But from the evidence at the scene and on your body, it doesn't look like your death was an accident.
Katerina jolted up from the chair she'd been occupying and spun to face me. The anger was gone from her eyes, immediately replaced with horror, giving them a dark and bottomless look.
I was murdered?
I paused for a moment, but then nodded. I'm so sorry.
Who? How? What did they do to me?
Posey rose from her seat, too, and took her place beside Katerina.
Are the police sure?
I nodded again.
There were signs of a scuffle, and there are defensive marks on your
body.
It's possible there was a fight and you slipped, but it looks more like someone pushed you from that cliff. Either way, someone else was with you and saw you fall.
Katerina began floating back and forth across the room, with no regard for the furniture, just passing through it as it appeared.
Someone did this to me?
She cried.
On purpose?
Have you had any more breakthroughs in getting your memory back? She paused in mid-pace and turned to look at me.
No. I can't remember anything except you and the beach and the strange faceless man telling me I was stupid for thinking about the age of the trees.
My heart sank. I'd been hoping that the full day would have given her a chance to dig up more memories that might be helpful to the case.
All right. I'm sure it goes without saying, but keep trying. The police are investigating. What about the PI?
Katerina asked, her eyes wide and hopeful.
Nick and I went to talk to your boyfriend.
Well, technically your ex-boyfriend. He told us you two broke up a couple of weeks ago. Posey straightened.
Is he a suspect?
I don't know. There was something off about him, but he claimed to know nothing about your death and said that he hadn't seen you since the breakup. You moved in with your friend Jess. Does that name ring a bell?
Katerina paused and glanced around the room as she searched her own memories, or whatever shards of memory she had left. My heart quickened as her expression shifted, as though maybe she was zeroing in on something. But it vanished just as quickly, and the blank look returned.
I don't remember Jess, or even having a boyfriend. What's he like?
I suppressed a shudder, thinking of Bobby Price.
Honestly, he gave me a creepy feeling. I think, and Nick agrees, that he knows more than what he's telling us.
Posey gave Katerina a concerned glance, and then cut back to me.
I think that's enough for one night, she said.
An argument welled up from my gut, but I stuffed it back down and dismissed the rest of my questions without a fight. Posey knew more about ghosts than I did. I couldn't risk Katerina losing her memories altogether. If Posey told me to back off, then I would respect her opinion. Nick and I will go and talk to Jess tomorrow. I'm sure Nick will speak with Chief Lincoln and let him know our suspicions about Bobby. Katerina nodded, her eyes still unfixed as she glanced around the room. I gave them each a polite nod and turned to leave the study when she burst out.
Bobby!
I whipped around.
His name was Bobby?
She asked.
Yes, Bobby Price.
I held my breath, hoping for another revelation like the one in the kitchen the day before. Katerina shuddered.
I can't see him, but that name...
Posey floated closer to her and met her eyes, forcing her to focus.
What do you see?
Darkness. And...
She paused, moving her fingers over her arms as though they were covered in goosebumps.
Ghost bumps? I don't know why, but when you said that name, I got cold. What does that mean?
She stared at Posey, her sage in this new adventure. But Posey shook her head.
I don't know. It could be that you blocked out the memory of him altogether. Maybe all that remains of him is the echo of the memories.
Dark memories? I added. Posey stared at Katerina for another lingering moment, and then tore her eyes away and looked back at me.
I'd keep an eye on him, Holly.
I nodded. Posey's words making goosebumps rise along my own arms.
We will.
After another long moment waiting for Katerina to remember anything, I gave up and excused myself, wishing the ladies good night before hurrying to meet Adam on the front porch. If there was anyone who could chase away the creeping feeling on the back of my neck, it was him. Chapter 15. All right, Cass, I want all the details, and I want them now, I announced, marching into siren song the following morning. I'd let myself in the back, expecting to find Cassie humming away on the other side. However, after a quick sweep of the back room, I realized I'd beat her to work. It was odd to be there first, but I shrugged it off and went to work, starting with the most important task, getting myself a massive cup of coffee. After the unsettling conversation with Katerina and Posey, Adam had taken me out for dinner at a small diner on the outskirts of town. We'd noshed on huge stacks of pancakes until I was convinced the top button on my jeans was about to pop off. We walked back to the manor, debating movie options the entire way, and spent the rest of the night crashed out on the couch, watching a spy thriller in between pancake-induced naps. What can I say? We're a very romantic couple. When the movie ended, we'd said goodnight at the base of the stairs, and I started toward my room to snuggle up with the other guy in my life, Boots. However, halfway there, I backtracked to the kitchen for a glass of water. The layout of the kitchen was familiar enough to me that I hadn't bothered to turn on the lights or summon an orb. I'd made my way by feel, and as I stopped at the sink to fill up my glass, I saw Evangeline out in the backyard, shooting sparks up into the night sky from the tip of her wand. Her face was masked by darkness, but when the sparks flew above, I could see the look of intense concentration on her face. There were two well-worn spellbooks on the ground at her feet, but they were too far away for me to see the titles along the spines. I thought about going out to see what she was doing, but quickly decided against it and hurried back to my room before she could see me watching her from the window. I went to bed, but sleep eluded me. Instead, I ended up wrestling with theories about Evangeline for most of the night. And as I stood at the espresso machine warming up some milk, I started sifting through it all over again. The one thing that continued to reappear in my mind was her interest in starfire spells. It could be entirely harmless, an advanced interest in spellcrafting like she claimed. But there was also the chance that she needed to harness the power of the stars for an entirely different purpose. A dark purpose.
Holly?
Cassie's voice cut into my musing, and I jolted upright so fast I slopped scalding milk over the back of my hand.
Bat wings, Cass!
I griped under my breath as I hurried to rinse my burnt skin off with cool water.
You okay?
Cassie asked, breezing into the front room. I glanced over at her as I turned off the tap. Spilled some milk. I'm fine. She made a sympathetic face, but a smile broke through, like she just couldn't help it. I straightened and wiped the back of my hand on my apron. A grin tugged at my own lips.
You look like you've been up to no good, I teased. I need the details. Now. Coffee first, she insisted.
She giggled to herself as she crossed to the espresso machine and started to pull two shots. She kept her back to me as she worked on preparing a vanilla latte, and with each passing second, my excitement curled up tighter in my belly, like a spring trap about to release. Her damp lock swung about her shoulders as she worked, and it struck me as odd that her hair was still wet,
That was the thing about Cassie. She was the first one to the shop, but also managed to be the most put together. She always showed up in full makeup, hair tucked up into a perfect bun or twisted into an elegant braid. "Cassie, you're killing me!" She laughed and turned back to me as she capped her paper cup.
"What do you want to know?"
Everything. She grinned and took a slow sip off the top of her drink.
"We had a lovely night."
I groaned. "Cass!"
"All right, all right."
She laughed and set her drink to the side of the machine and went about tucking her thick brown hair up into a top knot.
"Jeffrey picked me up,
not in the squad car, before you ask, and he took me up the highway to this adorable little seaside town, and we had dinner out on the deck of this super cute restaurant. Afterward, we walked down on the beach,
barefoot, under the stars."
She paused and sucked in a deep sigh. I laughed. "Chief Lincoln is a romantic?"
"Apparently. It was very sweet. We had the best time, but I didn't get home until after midnight, so excuse me if I go a little zombie on you today."
"Hey, as long as you don't try to eat my face off, we're cool." Cassie laughed and picked up her coffee again once her elastic band was secured in place.
"Deal."
I stared at her rosy cheeks and the sparkle in her eye. "I'm so happy for you, Cass. I gotta say, I didn't see this coming, but if you're happy, then I am too."
"Thanks, Holly. That really means a lot. I know you were kind of..."
Her words trailed off as she glanced down at the polished floors.
"A little hesitant about me and Jeffrey."
"Well, he did come a little too close to accusing you of murder," I reminded her. Cassie laughed and rolled her eyes.
"We actually talked about that last night."
I snorted. "Interesting dinner conversation. I hope no one overheard you." Cassie just smiled and started on the morning checklist. I jumped in to help her, and as we worked, I made a mental note to track down the love potion I'd mixed up for her and Nick. I no longer needed it to spark something between them, but generally speaking, missing love potions were not a good thing. Toward the end of another bustling day, Nick showed up, and I hurried to work through the line that backed up to the doors. When the line cleared and Nick sauntered up to the counter, I noticed that Cassie wasn't by my side, ready to hand off a large mocha. In fact, she wasn't anywhere in sight. "Mocha?" I asked him as I took a large sidestep to the espresso machine. Nick grinned and leaned down, bracing his elbows on the edge of the counter.
"Sure. You got any of those chocolate chip cookies in the back?"
he asked, after giving the front case an appraising glance. I laughed and started to pull the shots of espresso.
"I think so. I'll go check before we leave."
"Thanks." "Did you find out anything today?" I asked, glancing over at him before pouring milk into a stainless steel pitcher. Nick straightened and pocketed his hands in his dark wash jeans. He was wearing a button-up shirt with the sleeves cuffed to his elbows, displaying his sinewy forearms. He wasn't as broad as Adam, but it was clear that Nick logged some hours in his condo building's gym.
"I spoke with Chief Lincoln about Mr. Price. I didn't tell him that we went and saw him. I just passed the information along that Aunt Pearl had him at the top of her list as far as suspects go. Chief said he'd look into it."
"Well, good luck to the chief," I muttered, shuddering slightly at the creeping memories of our chat with the cold man the night before. Nick chuckled.
"Yeah."
I squirted chocolate sauce into a tall paper cup, swirling a little extra on the sides, before dumping in the milk to blend with the shots of rich espresso. The chocolate and coffee smell wafted up to me, and I smiled. Maybe I needed one for the road, too. I sprayed whipped cream on top, shook out some chocolate sprinkles, and capped it before sliding it over the counter to Nick. "Still think he's our number one suspect?" Nick slipped on his reusable coffee cup sleeve and lifted it to his lips. He breathed deeply, just like I had a moment before, and smiled before taking a sip.
"Perfect. Thanks, Holly. As to your question, I don't know. He was oddly unconcerned about her well-being. But if they had been broken up for a couple of weeks, maybe that's to be expected. I also don't know why they would have gone hiking if they weren't together anymore. So that would need to be explained, too.
Still, there's something about his reaction, or rather his lack of a reaction, that doesn't sit right with me.
I'm hoping we'll be able to make a better determination after we talk to Katerina's boss and co-workers. I nodded and punched in Nick's order. He set down his drink and reached into his back pocket for his wallet.
I'm especially interested in what the friend will be able to tell us. Girlfriends always know what's really going on behind the scenes.
Nick paid, dumped his change into the tip jar, and then retrieved his drink.
I hope so. I found Katerina's social media profiles, and by all accounts, it looked like her and Bobby were a happy, normal couple.
Really? That's odd. It seems like most people immediately scrub away all the evidence of their relationship. I mean, I'm far from a social media pro, but from what I've gathered, that's the standard operating procedure.
Nick shrugged. Maybe she wasn't ready to let go.
Or maybe they weren't as over as Mr. Price wants us to believe. My head was already flooding with new suspicions. If Bobby and Katerina weren't officially over, maybe he convinced her to meet up for a hike to talk about their relationship. Maybe the conversation had gotten heated and they'd fought. Maybe she'd slipped. That could explain why he made up the story about their relationship being over.
Nick gave a lingering glance behind me, and I laughed.
Cookies.
Right.
Thanks, Holly. After digging through the back refrigerator, I found a bag of 6 day-old jumbo-sized chocolate chip cookies. That should hold him over. Before heading back to the front to deliver the cookies and punch out, I stopped in the doorway to Cassie's office. She was bent over some paperwork, her eyes scanning back and forth, although at a speed that made me unsure whether she was really reading or just looking for something to do. I rapped my knuckles on the doorframe.
Nick and I are getting ready to leave.
All right. Cassie glanced up. A crease formed between her brows.
Holly, can I ask you something?
Of course, Cass. She folded her arms on the top of the cluttered desk and gave me a look that made me feel like she had X-ray vision. I gave a nervous laugh.
Cassie, what is it?
She sighed.
What's up with you and Nick?
What do you mean? There's nothing up with us.
In the last week, Nick has picked you up at work more often than Adam, who you're supposed to be dating.
And? Cassie stared at me for a long moment, and then flicked her eyes to the clock hanging above my head.
I just think it's a little odd.
Why? I hated the defensive clip to my tone as soon as the short bark echoed back to me. I sucked in a quick breath and smoothed my hair back. I mean, why would it be odd? I'm helping Nick with a case. Adam's busy with work tonight. Besides, we live together. I see him all the time. Cassie frowned.
Listen, I'm not trying to stick my nose where it doesn't belong, but people talk. I'd hate for Adam to get hurt.
I reared back, as though she'd physically reached out and slapped me across the face.
What are you trying to say?
That I'm cheating on Adam by hanging out with Nick? Why can't we just be friends with each other? Cassie dragged in a deep sigh.
You can. All I'm trying to say is that you need to be careful. You might see Nick as just a friend, but I don't know that those feelings are the same on both sides.
I crossed my arms tightly around myself and balled my hands together to keep the magic pooling in my palms from blasting out. Whenever my emotions ran high, my magic did too. And while I had a firm grip on it most of the time, it was best to be extra careful.
I can assure you that they are.
Okay,
Cassie replied. She held up her hands, palms out, to show that she was backing down, surrendering. I sighed and dropped my arms. Cassie was my best friend. We shouldn't be fighting about something as stupid as the gossip mill's piece of the week.
I'm sorry, Cass. I wasn't trying to be mean. I'm just tired of the accusations.
Adam said the same thing, and apparently the whole town is talking about me like I'm some contestant on a terrible dating reality show.
It's exhausting.
Nick and I are friends, that's it. Cassie nodded, but there was still a shadow of something dark and stormy in her eyes.